Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Whoa! Today on episode 236, I was very lucky to have Cassandra Lauren Gordon on the podcast. She is a former social researcher, a youth worker, community worker, charity manager, transformation and strategy manager, and domestic violence professional. But in her present life, she is, a jeweler, a jeweler. She works with jewelry on a day-to-day basis, and she started her own business. We spoke basically about how she got her business started, how she discovered jewelry was her passion, her guiding light. We also talked about her project she did with UCL and basically with cancer patients as well. Got to say, very interesting young lady. I think a very bright future is ahead of her, and I look forward to seeing that. Joy to speak to her. So please sit back, enjoy the podcast, and enjoy the show. Peace. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 236, I am very privileged to have Cassandra Lauren Gordon on the podcast. Now, she's a lady of many former lives, let us just say, from youth worker, from youth worker, community worker, charity manager, transformation and strategy manager, domestic violence professional, and now in her present life, she does a little bit of work with jewelry, just tinks about here and there. How are you today?
I am good. I'm very, very good because I have seen, I've heard you. It's all good.
Okay. This is what I like to hear. Like you, m'lady, as I say, you have had many irons in many fires through previous lives. Some people go, why didn't you stick there? You seem to be on this sort of continuous journey trying to find yourself.
Aren't we all? I think, about X amount of years ago, I'm not from London, I do live in London, but I had £200 in my pocket and I'm like, let's just go with the flow. But as I get older, I'm being more strategic about where I put my time and being very intentional. So I feel like for now, jewelry is my life and I'm very intentional about it.
Mm. So what part of the UK do you originally from?
Okay, that's a long story. I was born in Stoke-on-Trent. Okay. When I was about 3, I moved to Birmingham. When I was about 11, I moved to Coventry. When I was 18, I moved to Liverpool. When I was about 21, I came back to Coventry. And then I think it was 22, I came to London. So there you go. That's my life.
Okay, dear me, if you were American, I would say, you're a military brat, with the amount of travel you've done. Yeah, because I am currently in the middle of the country. I'm in Lemon Spa, just down the road.
Too far from Coventry, just down the road.
Absolutely. So it's when you say Coventry, Birmingham, this is where I am, this is where I've moved to. But are you a North Londoner or an East Londoner or South London or West London?
East.
Yes, I can tell. You're a Hackney girl, adopted by now, I can tell. Yeah. So with all that moving about, what was it? Was it a case of your family just moved about, or was it a case? Well, in the beginning, yes, I'm sure. But after a case of time, what made you move about and eventually settle in London?
I just felt that London, university, that was one. That's why I went to Liverpool, and then when I did my master's, I went to Warwick, so that's why I came back to Coventry. And then I thought, I'm not going to do a PhD, and let me find like-minded people that might be in London, and that's what I did.
I see. So did you go to Liverpool University or John Moores.
Liverpool John Moores.
Okay. Yes, I've got to say, Liverpool John Moores. Had one or two good nights in that town. Let's just say, yes. Brilliant. So with all this, you've now become a trained, a Hatton Garden trained juror, a jeweler, excuse me, not juror, because that would be something completely different, jeweler. Like, how on earth did you manage to go from what you were studying into this? Because that's like a bit of a leap right there.
Okay, so it's a lot of grafting, a lot of courses, a lot of trying, a lot of weekends sacrifice for about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I was working and I was studying like every Saturday for 4 years, learning jewelry manufacturing and jewelry design in Hatton Garden and using my evenings just to learn how to make jewelry the best way I could.
Yeah. So like what put you on this path? Because it's like, look, you've like, I'm at Hatton Garden. I started training. Yeah. But what sort of drew you in?
I feel like what I was made redundant in one of my jobs, and I did like, I was just so, in the most loving way, it wasn't the best experience, right?
Okay.
So what I did, I just wanted to have one thing of joy, one thing after this horrible experience, what they put me through, wow. Done it really, really badly. So I thought, let me do a jewelry course to make one silver ring. And I went to West London, I think it was Kensington College, and I just learned how to make one silver ring, and I just got hooked. It was a calling, there was a feeling, I was like, this is what I want to do, and I just went ahead.
So the one ring that rules them all brought you to this like situation. So with this, like, what would you say you sort of was like, okay, it ignited the passion under you. Like, so when you had this passion ignited under you, what was the sort of next step after that? Was it just a case of one ring and then, hey, what?
So lots of courses, courses, reading, YouTube, me going to the market. So I did the round of selling my jewelry on the markets. Going to stockists, like Not on the High Street, Wolf and Badger, galleries, trying to do some wholesale. And then eventually sort of my bespoke practice where I just make customized jewelry for people. And that's what I did. I tried to get a job in the industry. I gave my CV out and stuff like that, but for whatever reason, never worked out.
Well, like this is the thing. You say it hasn't worked out, but it's a case of you're working for yourself at this present time and like coming up with your own unique pieces. So to say it hasn't worked out, I'll say that's maybe being a little bit harsh on yourself there.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't clear. I said when I was trying to get a job in the industry,
yeah,
it didn't work out. So that's how I ended up doing my own business. That's what I meant to say. So thank you for pulling me up there.
No worries. No, I'm not trying to pull you up. It's just like, hey, look, there are many a person which would like go, okay, I've been made redundant. Okay, what's next? What can I do to change my life? Bring that, like, find that moment of joy. And not many people would be able to do it. They would fall into either the same pattern of the job they did before and not sort of like go, hey, let me try this new thing. Like, let me try this thing which I'm interested in. Maybe a little bit, make me a little bit uncomfortable, but you rose to that and it's like presented you with a new outlook, if you get what I mean. A new realm of possibilities.
I agree.
And like with this, and like, yes, trying to find work in the industry, starting your own business up, what would you say were some of like, what was the thing you really learned about from your challenging job, which you were made redundant from, to basically getting your business started? What was the thing? What was the key thing
No one cares. No one cares. I mean, no one cares. You know, how do I say this nicely? It's just like you are indispensable, you know. People might say at work, oh yeah, we care about you, we value our employees, but some people can be cutthroat, and that's in the charity sector where everyone thinks it's all like rainbows and unicorns and you're helping people. And sometimes that is the most places where they don't treat people well. So I just learned, like, I wanted to learn a trade and a skill which I could use. And I thought jewelry is something everyone wears jewelry or has a relationship with jewelry. And that is how, you know, I make my living now. So yeah, I learned that the hard way, you know, because you thought, you know, you go to uni, like you get your job and you feel like you're going to be on the career ladder, everything's fine. And then some people can just treat you so well in the workplace. So always having a backup plan, try to be in like independent, F your, not swearing, but your F money, meaning like you have your F fund, like just in case anything happens. Anything happens, like, because sometimes in charities, if it's a, you know, or employment law, they can give you just literally 2 weeks' notice. If you're there for like literally you're 2 weeks and you got rent to pay and you know you don't have rich parents, so it can be brutal out there when they let people go and don't give people notice. So yeah, I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, and like with regards to the sort of realm of the charity sector, look, when like I would say one of the things I've looked at with the charity sector, I've known people who've worked in charities as consultants and stuff like this. They're very sort of inefficient with the way they sort of handle their cash and handle like many things. They need to like advance forward, which you know, I mean, well, you know this firsthand, no doubt, looking at like working in the inside, like going, why are you doing it like this, most probably? Why is it going like that? Ah, you're frozen. Oh, are you
I'm
back?
here.
Yep,
Yep, I'm here.
yeah. No, but yeah, but like this is the thing. But going on to sort of like, yeah, getting that sort of realm of security, that FU money, which, okay, I think if we all had FU money, I think the world would be much more of a, how can I say, more honest place, because there would be like the sort of restrictions and controls that people put on themselves would not necessarily be there. I don't know if that would be a good thing or a bad thing, but yes, it would definitely be more crystal clear and murky, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, it's important because sometimes when you have one stream of income, people take the mickey at you. So, but I want to be positive. You know, when you have negative experiences, you got to see what's the learning. And I learnt, and I'm still learning.
So what was like, so the lesson, what was like your sort of main takeaway apart from like I got to have more than one sense of like source of income and a skill? Was there anything else you learned from that experience?
I want to give you a very cliche one, so please, you know, hold like your, you know, don't have a paper bag and you know vomit through it. But like believe in yourself, because sometimes people in employment or in just people in your life, they make you feel like your identity is something is always what you do, and they make you feel that you can't do things without them. So knowing yourself and knowing your skills, and you can use your skills commercially and outside the charity sector, because sometimes people you think like charity sector or whatever sector you're working is like the be and end all. There's not such thing as a job for life these days, and you always have to look about how you can make yourself valuable in your life and in other people's lives.
Yeah, no, like this is the thing, I agree with that. Like the whole thing is like I belief in oneself, that like, we are taught to believe in other people, we are taught to believe in institutions, we are taught to believe in like yeah, objects, everything apart from ourselves on a sort of day-to-day basis. We're seldom told to make that bet on ourselves, not unless if it's like, hey, oh, what you need to get your education, and that's the only bet you really sort of push forward to. And wherever that sort of narrow box people fall into, that's where you stay. And that's where where people like go, stay in that box, do what you need to do, and like get on with your life. But if people sort of went, okay, let me make a bet on myself. And it doesn't mean start a business. It doesn't mean like, yeah, conquer the highest mountain. It's just like, yeah, okay, make a bet on yourself. Like believe in yourself to maybe draw a painting, maybe write a book, maybe just like, you know what I mean, go to a different country. They'll be surprised at how far they can go and how far they can grow. And like, I just don't think enough people are sold that message. Or if they hear that message, they don't believe in it because no one's told them to believe in themselves, you know?
Understood.
So with regards to yourself, and no, I would say a person which I would say not lacking in confidence. Now, what was the sort of first thing you sort of went down with regards to after your silver ring? What was like, was it a project or was it just like you said, costume jewelry? But what was the thing where you're like, okay, this is the big leap into jewelry?
I mean, putting yourself out there, going to markets, you know, markets are hard work, you know, especially when you're competing, you know, if you go to London and you go to a London market, a street market, food, there's usually food. Which usually people go there. So people won't hesitate to pay 10, £15 on a burger, a coffee and a croissant. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But people are not really there to buy jewelry. It's an impulse purchase, right? And there's like so many jewelers. So, you know, and you're competing and you're the one who hand making it. So sometimes people are there selling jewelry, which is imported from China, which is fine. But that means it's at a fraction and when you made something handmade. So I learned the hard way of like, you know, putting my handmaking stuff, which is like 20 quid, which you think is not as bad. It's affordable. But compared to people who's selling things for £10, it's like a tricky thing. So I had to learn the hard way. And having a big leap of like working in, you know, now working just in 18 carat gold and just, you know, being very putting the price walls up, like, look, I can't do things under a grand. I can't make physically things. So, you know, the average engagement ring is like for the UK, it's like £2,500.
Yeah.
So anything £2,500 is up, and just say no to people, like, no, I really want to help you, but I can't do that because it's not worth my time, or not worth my time, but it's just I just cannot physically make it for that much. So you know, being comfortable of, you know, knowing your worth and knowing, you know, what service and quality you can provide for you know, a certain price point.
Like, it must have been a very sort of difficult thing, sort of getting like learn those margins and like sort of like going, okay, because it's one of those things where you go, okay, I'm now starting my own business, but there is so many other little lessons which go with that. You know what I mean? Like, there's margins here, taxes there, like, yes, who to talk to, who will be good suppliers and everything like this. And sort of like building that sort of network. How long would you say it took you to sort of get something like where you were confident that you can like go, okay, I need to get these supplies for this next collection?
It depends, but it depends on what you're doing. So confidence only comes through practice. So, you know, only up to about 2 years ago, I was doing everything by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh, I want to try 3D. So you do different techniques in jewelry, right? So when I started being trained, I've learned everything from the bench, like literally sawing everything by hand. That's how I learned. But then I'm like, oh, there's some other techniques by using computer-aided design, using different waxes, using technology, really, to make things a bit faster and more cost-effective. So through trial and error, like I'm using 3D design techniques to get my jewelry done. That was a big leap, you know? So I just feel like it's not like one thing what I do, it's a continuous thing. Or everything, like this month, I'm just finishing off doing a pure 18 karat collection. If you look on my website, most things are done in gold vermeil, gold plated. But I'm just like, you know what? Invest in myself. 18 karat is very expensive, but people respect 18 karat and they see it as real gold, right? So 18 karat and diamonds it is. So that's what I'm, you know, and it took a lot of leap and investment to get there because I have no rich husband. I'm not these celebrity people who have, oh, this is just my jewelry line. It's like everything I sell goes back into the business. So it's like a slow burn. It's a slow burn. It's patience. We're doing it over 10 years now. I had no outside investments. You know, a lot of these jewelry brands do. Sometimes they get venture capital and capital. Sometimes they're family business. So I'm very passionate about having unconventional routes doing things. This being in the fine jewelry business when you don't have no family connections, you did not train as an apprentice. You did not go to university for this. But there's high barriers, and you don't have a lot of money capital. It's there's a lot of barriers. It's not an easy thing. So when you see celebrities just like put out a line, just like that's nice for them because they've got investment, they use their own money. But you know, whatever you worth want to do and it's worth fighting for, you just have to do it, no matter how long it takes.
No, I hear that. I hear that. Like, it must be, that sort of challenge of not sort of having venture capital coming in or like sort of outside investment. In some ways, I understand the benefits of that, but I also kind of see the sort of disadvantages of that as well. It's one of those things where you're on the point of a knife and you've got to be careful with either strategy because one accelerates everything forward. And one is a much slower burn. And if you can, like, if you're doing the slow burn, that's all great, but you know, harvest is not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be like the next month. It's not going to be the month after that. Like, years down the line, that's when it will come. But with venture capital, it's like, yes, we give you the money, you've got it. But yeah, come in 3 months' time. Where's our money? Pay us up now. Where's our money? And it's a different kind of pressure. I'm curious, like, with regards to that, with what I've said. Now, would there be like, would you ever sort of consider sort of doing like a one-off project with some like a group of investors to like go, okay, to sort of be like that sort of real, like a promo exhibition or something like that?
You mean collaborations?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can't say right now. So the 18 karat collection
Yeah.
and what I'm doing is in collaboration with a diamond company. And that will be shown in April. No, in June, sorry, in June. So when that comes out, I let you know the official thing. So I'm very open up for collaborations. I think collaborations for creatives is the best good way to get their name out there and increase their profile. So, you know, I have been approached by drinks companies to do stuff for them and stuff like that. So I am really looking, putting out in the universe, manifesting to work with brands to insert jewelry in a different light.
Ah, I see. A drinks company. My God, that's unusual, to say the least.
Yeah, people love jewelry, so I'm
Well,
here to serve.
I see. That is that a soft drinks company or
A gin company.
excellent, excellent. So with this and everything like that, now where do you think you see yourself going with regards to the jury in the next, say, 5 years?
No, I had about like a 10-year kind of feel, but 5 years is good. Definitely in the millions. I say this manifesting. I don't know. In my head, I have a figure of like if I ever had an exit strategy, right? The figure is 3 million. So if some people came to me and say, "Hey, Cassandra, we want to sell your brand. We want to give you to buy you out for 23 millions," I'm like, "I'll take it." Not just I mean 23 millions of my own. Like in my pocket with no taxes or anything. I want 23 in my bank account. with no taxes, not give anyone anything. So do all the rounding up, do all that acquisition stuff, and 23. I don't know how, but that'll be amazing. If I have 23 million in my bank account in 5 years, well, I've built the brand up this much minimum.
Why 23 million? Because
I don't know. It comes in my mind. It's just a number. I'm like, why is 23, 23? Maybe it's happening. I don't know.
Because like, yeah, 23 million. Fair enough. Like 23 million. Yes. Like in this nation of ours in London. Yeah. You can live like a queen, quite easily. Yeah. But okay. 23 million. Interesting. I'm intrigued with that number, but hey, the number 23 seems like is a number of excellence, a number of power in some regards. Like, hey, Julius Caesar was supposedly stabbed 23 times with that number. Like, basically, Michael Jordan has made that number a number of, yeah, outstanding excellence. And it's seen, the number is seen as, yeah, that gold standard, if you will, of legendary status. So, 23 million. So, in 5 years, do you want to be halfway to that 23? Or is it a case of, you know what I mean?
As close as I can or on it. Wow. Like over 80% or on it.
Okay.
80% or on it. I'd love to be close to that number, build the brand up as much as that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you hit that figure, would it be a case of you throw a retirement party like Jay-Z and then basically work harder than ever? Or will it be like feet up on the beach, I'm chilling?
I don't think I can ever retire, if I'm being honest. Mm. It would just be a treat to see what I can pull a brand, a fine jewelry brand from scratch to that level. I probably would start another business, actually. Okay. A lot of founders do. So I probably would do that. I'm not sure what I would do after that, but the main thing, my heart and soul is for this brand at this moment. And I think even if I did sell it, I want to be like an employee of it or something. You know, they usually do that. If you have an exit strategy, you usually, and I'll just be like, yeah, I'll be your, like your president, your like the ceremonial person, uh-huh. You know, just, you know, but you're not really involved. I do believe in it. Yeah.
Okay, that is interesting. But do you think you would be able to actually let go one finger at a time? Because
once the money is in my account, yeah.
Okay, because like this is the thing. Say like if you hit that the magic figure of 23 million, okay, without any investment and it was like still there, churning away, doing its bit. Would you sell up then or would you just like, yeah, just like, okay, you guys manage this. I'll be in the shadows or, you know.
I don't think I can. I don't know. I say that as 23 as the minimum, but I don't know. Who knows? I might have kids then. I might think about, I don't know. Who knows? But all I know, that is a number I am willing, you know, when people say, what is your price? In 2022, that is my price.
Ah, brilliant. No, that is, I like that. Okay, cool. So with this and like, okay, you mentioned founder. It's like, okay, this means, like to me, when you say founder, it means, yeah, you're going to be looking to do many other things. So like, this is the thing with like, if everything kicked in with jewelry, like what would you think would be next for you? Would it be like, say, writing a book? Would it be music? Would it be film? Like, where do you think, like, you know what I mean? Because look, I know you've got a podcast, but like, yeah, I will get to that later, you know?
I do see myself as an artist. So when I say I'm a multidisciplinary artist, maybe see me as multi-passionate. Jewelry is my main medium of expression and what I do, and that's what I'm known for. So films are important to me, visuals are important to me, and storytelling is very important to me. So I'm just finishing actually writing a book, just getting it printed now, looking at jewelry, the relationship between jewelry and cancer. So even
Yeah.
though I do talk about 23 million and I have this commercial side, I do have this community side which I developed working in the third and public sector,
Yeah.
which is quite non-commercial. I do believe that I am a social citizen or a global citizen, and I do believe in my values, I don't know, and brand values, that to always give back, and it doesn't always give back, doesn't always have to be money. It's about your time and how you contribute to the world. So I'm very interested in how using a socially engaged practice, which I'll explain, how we can break down taboos and improve people's lives. So through this book, I'm doing a project where people who have been affected by cancer directly or indirectly tell their story, reclaim their narrative using the medium of jewelry. So throughout the lockdown period, we interviewed and talked to these people all remotely about their cancer journey. And then we showed them some research. We told them about, some effective treatments and stuff like that. And then they drew and they designed their own piece of fine jewelry, which represent their journey and how it related to cancer. And for a lot of them, they found it really a good way, something positive to look forward to while they're getting treatment. And it kind of helps them break down those social taboos, because sometimes we talk about cancer, people just say, oh, you shouldn't talk about it, it's about death. And cancer's not just about death, a lot of people survive, so it just opens up about that. And when I mean socially engaged practice, meaning socially engaging people to produce something. So I am not seen as an expert, I'm just a facilitator, I'm like the midwife of their jewelry, trying to deliver what they want and their stories. I just manufacture it for them, and it's just a very powerful tool. And I think jewelry, everyone has a relationship with jewelry, whether they like it or not, and it's just not given that love, of how it's such an emotional manifestation and symbol about who we are, our heritage, what we do. And it transcends our lifetime, because when you go to a gallery, you go to a museum, you see brooches, you see all these times of jewelry, it lives on, future heirlooms. So I'm very interested into heritage and legacy, and how jewelry is being used in a social setting.
Yeah, like this is the thing with regards to jewelry, like any sort of like decoration or anything like this, like from like a ring to medals, everything like this. Like the thing for me with regards to jewelry pieces, anything like this, it's the story what goes with that. That's the thing what really gives it that power. Because, okay, when someone goes, yes, it was my grandmother's wedding ring, like you go, right, it's like, what? It's been with the family this long because of this. She got it with this, my black father. And the story builds from that is the thing what gives it true value beyond the actual sort of material worth, if you get what I mean. That's what gives it its true value, its pure value on that level. And like, yeah, doing a book with people who are like suffering, like, well, fighting like the big C cancer on a day-to-day basis. Like, yes, that piece of jewelry they design could be like, yes, on the sad level, might be one of the last things they could like do and pass on to their family. Or on the positive side, yes, this is my like marker of survival. I fought the good fight, I survived it, and yeah, I look to the future to like do whatever I want to do next, you know?
Yeah, it ranges from different people, I think what you said was correct. Some people see hope, some people don't see themselves as survivors, and some people said this is part of life. We have kids who are in it from Great Ormond Street Hospital, how they see cancer. It happens to young people as well, not just people think they're old and people go to hospice. We have parents, we have people who work in the field, who are affected, and people are indirectly affected. So it could be the son of someone who has cancer. How does a little boy feel if his mom's got cancer, and how does he deal with it? So we try to, be a bit more inclusive and helping people tell their stories.
You know what? Like, it's one of those things where, okay, how did you get that sort of like inspirational spark for this? like this project, because it's like, okay, jury and cancer survivors, it's not one of those things which, you know what I mean, go hand in hand, if you get what I mean.
Good. Yeah. So I was talking to a cancer researcher who's very leading in her field. Yeah. Her name is Aisha. She's based at UCL. Mm-hmm. And we just came up with a proposal. We're just like, hey, we want to try this out. So the synergy is between the cancer researcher or the scientist is like, she has cutting edge research about the diagnostics of how to see different cancer characteristics. So she does different staining techniques under a microscope to see how the cancer behaves and what does it look like and what do they do, because the more identifying characteristics you have about cancer, the more likely or successful you can treat it. So that's her techniques of doing. She's identifying, she's putting like this dictionary together, like look at this before you give a prescription or something, you know. And then we just talk, okay, so she's getting this technology to tailor make these type of treatments or help these people to make, or these, you know, people working in the cancer field, these type of treatments to make it effective. As a bespoke jeweler, I'm tailor making people's reality, you know, dreams into reality. So that's how we see synergy. Like the project's called Tailor Made. So she's helped to tailor make in cancer treatments and helping the diagnosis better for people in a personalized way. And I'm trying to make jewelry in a very personalized way for people. So we're just trying to put it together. And we put a proposal together to UCL and we got funded. So that's how it came about.
Wow, fantastic. Oh. I have to ask now, look, I don't know how many pieces of jewelry you've designed and everything like this, but there must have been one piece which you had to give away, but you're like, I love this piece. What was that one piece?
That's a good one.
Okay. That's why I'm here.
That is a good one. The only one I can, the top of my head, is like for this project, right? There is an ear climber. I don't think I've got an ear climber. I don't think I've got a good picture of it. An ear climber. So I don't know. Sorry, I don't want to insult your intelligence. So ear climber is like a piece of jewelry. It just goes from there to like, it's like a cuff.
Yeah.
It's like a big ear cuff. And I made it for one of the participants. You can't see it. Because it's not really good. Let me see. You cannot see. Oh, here it is. You probably can see. So it's an ear climber. So it hooks it. So I'm like, wow, I would wear that. And I feel like, I can't really make it. You know, I made it for her. It's her design.
Yeah.
I can't be like rocking this, but it's so personal towards her. So I was like, that's the one I would wear. I would literally wear that. That's the only thing I could think of the top of my head. If I'm making like diamond rings and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, that's nice to be shiny. I'd like to have that. I wish I had a husband to give me that money to buy a rock. But tangibly, those earrings, ear climbers, I would definitely rock those. But I feel a bit guilty if I ever made it because it's not my design, it's hers. Mm. So yeah.
How long did it take you to make those ear climbers?
About not that long, like probably a week, probably not that long. But the thing with jewelry, there's so much different processes.
Yeah.
So like things getting hallmarked, that takes time. Gold plating, that takes time. So some things are out of your hands. You know, making the metal and getting the stones is one bit, but there's additional things which are out of your time frame.
Yeah. I see. Because like this is the thing. Like, okay, making a ring is one thing. Making a brooch is another. Ear climbers as well, learning all of these techniques. Did you think when you started it was like, I'm gonna make the best rings ever and that's what I'm gonna do, look at my hand? When you opened up this, not Pandora's box, but when you opened up this realm, you're like, oh, I've got so much to learn.
You know what? When I thought being a jeweler, when I thought I was just going to make things on a little jewelry bench and sell it in a market and have a cup of tea, a bit of bohemian lifestyle.
Yeah.
No. Most of my time is not making jewelry as I thought. Yeah. I thought my time was making jewelry. 90% of my time making jewelry, but it's not. Most of my time is actually trying to figure out how to sell jewelry, the marketing. I did not know this, okay? I just wanted to create and live my life, okay? So, especially when you're making fine jewelry and you're investing in your gold and your gemstones, you have to learn to sell it. And that, every time I think I cracked it, there's something else, right? So it's an evolving thing, you know? It's an evolving thing because you have Tom, Dick, and Harry on the internet, like, we can help you to sell stuff. And you have to be looking at yourself and believing yourself, you know, what you can do and what is your strengths and stuff like that. So, you know, I do not as much making as I love to because I'm starting to work with, you know, people in my workshop and craft people to help me to make it. Because I want to like help the business. So learning about doing some of the unsexy stuff, like accounting and business systems and stuff like that, things, the discipline, what will make you the money is like, oh, I have to do those stuff if I want to grow it as a business, not as a hobby or a side thing, you know.
I just like the way you're like the marketing. It's like it's your
the marketing. It's like, no. But, I mean, I don't see it as a dirty word anymore. I did see it as a dirty word when I first started. So I don't want to be on Instagram. This is long. But this is what it is about this life. It's like if you're an athlete, yes, you do the race, but you have to do all that training. You have to diet, you have to go up 6 o'clock in the morning. It's part of it. So I can't just love the shiny bit where, oh, it looks nice. And if I have to love all of it. I have to.
And I bet you that sort of that journey of love, that love tale took a little bit of time to get there, I imagine. Cassandra, you there? Uh-oh. 47. Okay. Wait a sec. Cassandra, where are you, Cassandra?
I am here.
Okay.
I'm here in the universe. Don't worry, don't edit. It's all good. I'm all here. So yeah, it took me ages to find that love, to accept it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Because like, as I say, like, yes, people, when they go, yeah, people go, follow your passion, follow your dreams. And it's a case of, you go, okay, great, do it. And like, I will say to everyone, yeah, do it. But remember this, like every passion, every dream is kind of like an iceberg. You see the 10%, but you don't see the rest of it underneath, because everyone who goes, oh, that person's an overnight success. Yeah, no one actually sort of celebrates the journey, the work to get to that sort of like overnight moment, you know?
I agree. I'm nodding furiously. Like, I'm nodding, like, you can't hear me. I'm nodding. My neck is going to fall off because I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. 100%.
Yeah. So with this, now I have to ask, you've doing the jury, you've doing the book, and now like you're like going, okay, you went, hey, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do a podcast. It's like, yeah. So, what made you like decide to like take on the realm of podcasting?
I love podcasts. So as a jeweler, when I'm making and doing the business stuff, I'm on my own. It's not as collaborative, creative art form because you're on your own a lot, right? So podcasts, in my head, podcast people like yourself and me, I feel like you're my friends. Like I'm kind of stalking you, but I'm allowed to stalk you because you put it on a public platform, right? So in my head, you guys are my friends when I'm doing jewelry because I'm usually by myself. You know what I mean? You know, like what Jin Rohn said, I'm probably butchered the night. The five people you hang around with is the people who you are. You probably know the quote better than me. I butchered it. I'm really good at butchering quotes. So I love podcasts. Number two, what I'm learning, my business brand is one thing. Cassandra Lauren or KLG Jewelry. And Cassandra Lauren Gordon, me, is two things, which is my personal brand. And what I was doing, I was accidentally doing my personal brand and who I am on my business brand. So people were liking me, but they weren't buying. And I was like, that's nice, like me, but you need to buy so I can live and eat, right? What I'm doing is taking away my personality, what I think, we'll do all that kind of stuff, and putting it in long form content on a different platform so it's easier for people, so it attracts the people I want to attract. So if you like me for me, follow me on my podcast and my own personal stuff. But if you love my jewelry, I want to talk by my jewelry, you know where my stuff is. So that's how I got to podcasting, just talking about things and actually talking about, you know, creatives and black creatives. I feel that there's certain nuances. I know people talk about black, especially since 2020 for obvious reasons. But if I had this podcast when I was 17, 16, 14, when I was choosing my GCSEs, if I knew there was a way to make creative money, being a creative, growing up in a Jamaican household where education, and you just got to get a job. And then I wasted all these times and two degrees, which I don't use, right? If there was a podcast who had that confidence and the balls and ovaries to say, no, mom, I know I live under your roof, but I'm going to do this, with conviction, and I could show something. Therefore, you know, YouTube and podcast wasn't there when I was growing up. But if I had something like this or a mentor at that age, that would have saved me a lot of time and a lot of money. And I'm super passionate about that. And there might be people like me who found creativity later or different ways of working later in their life. And how do they transition out of a 9-to-5, which I've done, by just working my bum off and believing in yourself when everyone's telling you no, you know? So that's what the podcast is about, and being practical. I'm a person believing like knowledge, you should share it. Don't hoard it, share it, and you'll get your blessings, right? And there's not going to be like how to make money and by the way, you got to have my 10 million pound course. Is that like, here is, I like to bring people and talk to people on the podcast who's actually doing it. Because sometimes the people who you see online, they're like, yeah, I've made millions and I'm like, have you? How? Let me see your bank account. Let me know. Oh, but you have to go on my course. Like, no. If you know how to do it, you should tell me. And then if I want to do it, the application, I will pay you once I've seen the results, right? So anyone who's been on my podcast has practical ways of how they're literally earning money, doing what they love to do and giving the audience that value and showing them that they're not alone in these creative fields, trying to navigate. And it's not as easy as people think. You know, people see the Kanye West's, the Jay-Z's and that. That is the iceberg, you say, you know? That's the iceberg when, you know? But no one sees the graft and the hustle. And so that's what we're talking about, how to get from A to B. So that's why I feel positive about this podcast. And you see the theme when I'm talking about how hard it is to be a creative. So,
Now I'm like, oh, so many questions come to mind. So many things I want to say. Now, yum. Now, I've got to, one of the things I'm always curious about when people, I want to start a podcast, is what you thought the podcast would be before you started and what you thought the podcast would be 20 episodes in, because you're on 63 episodes live currently and who knows how many in the can waiting to go, you know?
Okay, so full disclosure,
Mm.
the podcast was originally called Created for You, and I thought I could just do what I want and chat. I realized no, I was having good content, but people were listening to it because they didn't know who was it for.
Yeah.
They didn't know who was it for, right? And what I was doing. So I had to be very specific and I had to feel very community minded. So 20 episodes in, I had to like switch. I think 20, yeah, around the 20th episode, I can't remember. A third away in, I had to switch and rebrand everything and start from scratch. And moving forward, I don't see it just as a podcast. I see it as, I don't say movement. Can you still hear me? Can you
Yeah.
hear me, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sometimes I get scared. Okay, I don't see it as a movement, but I do see it as a community type of thing where a resource where people all over the world can come to when they need some creative inspiration and inspiration or help to get them from A to B in their creative lives in a very authentic, in a very pragmatic way. That's how I see it in the future. And I see sponsorship deals. I don't know. I'm going to put manifest it, but Apple. I don't know. One of my sponsorships has to be from Apple. I talk about Apple in my podcast. Like sometimes I'm an Apple girl, even though I don't have Apple right now. I use Apple. I don't know why. Me and Apple, they need to give me some money, some sponsorship money, because I talk about your products, right? So I'm putting it in there. I'm getting a sponsorship from Apple. I don't know how. There you go. So that's what I'm envisioning for the future.
Again, Apple sponsorship, it would be challenging to say the least. Yeah, but hey, you're putting it out there into the world, into the universe,
You get something from Apple.
that manifesting it away. So with doing your podcast, like talking to these people all around the world, now, what would you say? What was one of the most sort of either inspiring or interesting lessons you picked up from speaking to all these people?
The convictions and their belief, and knowing that everything is quite figure outable. I don't know if that's a word. You might not know the answers, but you just gotta start.
Can solve those problems.
You can solve it, man. I mean, an entrepreneur or having a business, you always solve problems or trying to solve other people's problems. So that's part of life. You know, if you're gonna do things by yourself, if you're gonna manifest your own destiny, be the CEO of your life. You have to be willing to sort out the problems, and learn from them. And I mean, you don't have to be big problems like, life threatening. So like, oh, I don't know how to do something. You have to learn a new system or something like that. There's, obstacles, things that you have to learn.
Yeah, like this is the thing. I think in today's world, in this day and age, there is, how can I, now, you strike me as a person which is not fearful to get into those uncomfortable places. You strike me as a person who's like quite willing to take responsibility for their own life and not basically sit back and basically rise to the challenge. What I would say a lot of people in this world today, like, uncomfortable spaces, no. Like, you know what? Let me have my comfy slippers and stuff like this. And then they ask themselves, why hasn't things changed in this world for me? It's like you're not rising to the challenge. You're not making yourself uncomfortable. Taking responsibility, no. It's somewhat like it's bad luck. It's other like things going on in the world, which is holding me back from where I want to be. When okay, if they're in the equation of life, with all things being said, you are the constant in that equation, and making that happen in a positive manner, one way or the other, it comes down to you eventually. Don't get me wrong, there are times where things are completely out of your control, but you choose to how you react to those, you know? And then basically rising to the new challenges. No, if you don't rise to any challenge, how do you expect to rise? it's one of those things which you like go, it baffles me sometimes. But I think, yeah, more people need to do that, take that responsibility, put themselves in a place of discomfort, and then rise to the, like, whatever challenge comes forth, you know?
Absolutely. I'm just nodding again, just like you're speaking the truth.
Just small elements. Like, yeah. So you've been a host for 63 episodes. I'm curious to like find out. You've been like a guest on a number of podcasts too. What has that experience been like for you?
It's a bit different being on the other side, you know? It's a bit different. Because I get to explore, you know, I learn things about myself. I you know, the subconscious works. When I come off the pot, I'm like, oh, did I say the right thing? Oh no, was I succinct enough? I'm not sure. So a lot of the work of the podcast happens after the podcast so the personal development stuff happens. So I thank you for asking that. I'm really thinking about how do I feel. I literally think about that. Like, how do I feel on the other side? Am I giving value? Am I trying to be a good guest? I hope, you know, the listeners or viewers, they get something out of it, because, you know, time is precious, and I really want to make sure that it has an impact. It is, you know, most of your viewers' lives, you know. I really want to make sure I've done something which at least resonates with them.
I hear you. And like, this is the thing, I think either side of the fence on a podcast, if you're talking to people, depending on what type of podcast you're doing, yeah, there is that opportunity to learn and grow. Because as time goes by, like, I often say this, like, when you're in your like teenage years, early 20s, you're like, okay, we're gonna go out, we are legion, and all you hear from the reply is large crowd, and go out, hit the town. Yeah, like, as time goes by, I'm gonna say, you get to your sort of mid-20s, early 30s, it's like, we are legion, and you hear a not as loud as before, but yeah, it's like, okay, you get to it like this is where I'm gonna sort of start revealing my age. But when you get to your mid-30s and your early 40s, like, it's like, we are legion. It's like, well, no, we're not a legion, we're more like a crack unit. And like, it's like going like, because life comes in, and yeah, people get married, people move away, people are lost along the way because you can't have them there. But as time goes on, you talk to less and less people. So those opportunities for new ideas and growth on a personal level start to fade away. And you become set in your ways as you get older. It's not a case of you want to get set in your ways. It's just a case you're the less and less opportunities to have conversations which might go, you know what? I've never seen the world in that point of view. You're right on that, you're wrong on that. And like, the ideas, the good ones and the bad ones, which you normally would have, which compete and like kill off one thing or kill off the other or evolve into something new, you don't have that opportunity to have those experiences, you know?
Absolutely, no. You say things eloquently more than I would do. You round it up very well.
No, you're eloquent. Like, don't say that. You're eloquent yourself. So yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So I was like, okay.
I'm listening. I'm like, that's right. I like how you phrase that. I might borrow a few things. Yeah.
Feel free to enjoy and like use them in the future. It's not mine to just own alone. It should be shared out there into the world, because when we sort of get selfish with like the knowledge and experiences we have in this world, that's where the problems start to kick in. That's where we can't see things from other people's points of view. And we get too much sort of, this is my team and everyone else go to hell, you know? And that is not a good place to be because it leads to dark places. It leads to dark actions. And like, yes, and leads eventually to great suffering.
I'm hearing you.
So with regards to your podcast, now, is it a case of you just going to interview like people on the individual basis? Do you have a sort of target number you want to get to? Or like, is it a case of you want to do this for a year or two and then do something else?
I think this is long-term. It's part of me. I think part of my personal brand, it's always seemed some part of public speaking, like before COVID and that, I was, you know, on the public speaking circuit, doing different things. Yeah. I do enjoy listening and, you know, try to, you know, speak to people and try to help people find their voice and stuff like that. I do see this as a more of a community. I'd love to take the podcast live. That'd be a dream. So I put it on my little kind of to-do list. If I can put do a live podcast or do some events, you know, around, you know, creativity, or have a salon, like people can share their, you know, their art or share what they're doing, or have a bit of a critical thing where people can, you know, share ideas. Because I think artists, like, sometimes we're so sensitive. So I'm talking about myself, maybe. Okay. We're so sensitive and we want to, I'm a person, like, not cost me, but tell, you know, give me criticism or give me constructive criticism in private. And then I'll show you everyone in public, because sometimes the world can be so harsh when you put yourself out there in the public sphere. So I want to create safe spaces, whatever safe spaces means. I know it's overused, but a forum or platform for artists to share their work, you know, and get the support what they need, or, you know, whatever they are in their career. So yeah, that'd be amazing. Because sometimes I need, you know, everyone thinks, oh, yeah, because Andrew, you're confident and stuff like that. But like when I do a jewelry collection, I'm spending X amount of money on it. I want to know, do you think that earring looks nice? Do you think you'd buy it? Yeah, I want to know, because I'm guessing sometimes, you know. So that'd be really helpful.
Yeah, because like this is the thing, you mentioned this before that, yeah, you're working your workshop pretty much alone with regards to this. Like, and like the whole thing with like the way you're working with your jewelry, it's a solo venture. It's not like, yes, okay, like you're not going, okay, we must assemble and like five of you magically appear and like start like tinkering away. You're like going, okay, I'll do the earrings, you do the rings, you do the bracelet, and like we'll come together and be this awesome like jewelry fighting team. But yeah, trying to get like getting people together which are arty, like which do are creative, you put up the signal and they shall come. It's just a case of, you know what I mean, banging that loud enough drum and deciding what that sort of drum or medium is going to be to get that word out there.
Okay.
But I believe in you. I believe you can do a hell of a lot of thing. Like this is the thing. Like when I speak to you and like, yes, look at your sort of things you've done before. And I think you've been a little bit guarded at times about what you might want to do in the future, because hey, you speak things into being, but it's a case of you don't want to show your whole hand yet. I could be wrong. Please, correct me if I am.
I don't know about that. I mean, sometimes, if I'm being honest,
yeah,
I don't want to put pressure on myself how I used to, of like, this is what I'm going to do. And this is... So I'm very into, like, transformation. Like, I have a vision.
Yeah.
Right? Like what I said, the 23 million or something. Mm. If I say to you, right, 2022, I'm going to do this, earn this much. For me, that does not work for me. So long as I break my things in actionable goals each day, like make sure I do 3 things or 5 things off this list, I can, the consistency and the discipline and the process works for me. So it's not like I'm taking this feedback. I've got to listen to this when it comes out, but it's just like, Or maybe I'm reflecting as I'm talking to you. Maybe I like to be like move in silence. I like when things are done and I'm like, here it is. So that's something I'm glad that you said that. I need to think about that as a guest, about how much I reveal or how much I think I reveal and how much I don't reveal.
Like this thing, it's not a criticism, it's just observation. I've had one or two of these conversations. I know when people are
you expert, you know.
Look, I'm still learning. I've got a lot to learn, and yes, the day I go, I know everything. That's the day when I just go take this mic, I put it down, I just turn off everything. I'm like, oh, nope, nope, my ego has gone too far. I need to stop myself right there. But this is the thing, the reason why I say this, it's just how can I put it? I think you've got the growth to be sort of a Maya Angelou-esque type person. And this is the thing, that lady, legend that she was, you know what I mean? Hey, she did a lot of things. It wasn't like she was good in these things. She was excellent in these things. And I get that same vibe from you as well.
Thank you. I take it as a compliment. She is one of the queens. So I take it as a compliment. Thank you so much.
No problem. No problem at all. I have to ask couple more questions. But now who do you take as your sort of inspiration for what you do? I mentioned Maya Angelou just a moment ago, but who about what? Who are those people which you go, hey, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to celebrities because that's what I can think of. It comes top of my head. Two people for the artistry, maybe not for their personality, but for the artistry and what they do. So number one, have you watched the Kanye West documentary on Netflix?
I have not watched that documentary. I'm going to get around to it. It's just yeah.
Okay, so. Full disclosure, Kanye West is a very polarizing figure, right?
Oh, no, certainly not.
But when I watched that documentary, that trilogy docuseries documentary, I was in awe. His personal life, I can't say nothing about that. That's one I have to just put it over there.
Yeah.
But what I saw in that documentary, I was I'm not working hard enough. Okay. So for that, Kanye West is there. Number two is Beyonce. Yes, Beyonce. Da, 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 da. And maybe, I like what she does. She moves in silence. She just drops stuff. She does some hard work. Mm-hmm. And she has that discipline, which I've seen in documentaries, and I try to study people what they do. So anyone has a really good work ethic, even Serena Williams and Venus Williams, anyone who I see who have a dedicated, strong work ethic, I'm just drawn to them. So those are the people I can think of the top of my head.
If you're into documentaries, you should watch the Kevin Hart documentary. I believe he's on Netflix as well. Basically, he talks about, how can I put it? His sort of personal journey, everything like this, but the project he wants to put in to help, to help people in general, work on their fitness, their sort of finances, basically their sort of acumen as a whole to move them forward. I think you'll find that very valuable. I would say if there was a few people would inspire me, Kevin Hart would be one of those people. And the reason why that is, he has a ferocious work ethic, but it's a case of it has a plan behind it, you know?
Understood.
Excellent. Beyonce. Kanye West. Perfect. Now, with this, with this, I have to ask, what was the last thing you were grateful for?
Last week, I was grateful to go to the cinema in the middle of the day. It was the middle of the day, and I was like, I'm going. I'm going. And it's just like, I haven't done it in a very long time. I did it twice. I did it 2 days in a row. I went to the cinema at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I watched two films on the Wednesday and on the Thursday, one at 1 o'clock and the next day. And I thought, wow, I can design my life by this. I can work around it. I do work. I wasn't just chilling all day, but for 2, 3 hours, I had a rest. And I was in the day. And I was like, wow, I'm going to try that more often.
Two films in like each day, 2 days.
No. Sorry. So 1 day each. So the
Yeah, no,
Wednesday, I watched one film. And then the Thursday, I watched another film.
I have to ask, what were those films?
Okay, the Japanese films, right? Well, I think one of them was, I can't remember. I love foreign films because the storytelling's different than Western films. The second film I remembered is called Drive My Car, and I can't remember the first film I watched. It has a certain name, a phrase. I can't remember. I'm sorry, but it's a Japanese. They were both Japanese films, so yeah.
No, that's good. That's good. Now, I'm gonna say this is my final question. If you could have someone on the podcast, on your podcast, anyone, who would be the top three people you would have on your podcast? Alive today and present.
I'd love to have Pharrell on my podcast
Why Pharrell?
because I just feel his mastery in music is amazing. Like, this guy's like a prodigy since he was like a teen. Like, how did he create stuff like this? I would have Khalees as well. Khalees, why? I feel she is like, people should give her flowers and the trendsetter, which people forgot. The trendsetter, what people forgot, definitely. Or don't as a preach don't appreciate. She, like, for 20 odd years, she's been killing it, and history has not been kind to her. My heart, my third one. I don't know why they're all music, but I do love music. I'm gonna be how I answer this question, if they come to my head. My subconscious is saying to pick it, right? So the third one is Lauryn Hill. Don't know, there's something about her. Like, Lauryn, why are you not come to your concerts on time? Lauryn, I love you. Like, let's have some new music. Let's talk to the lawyers to figure out why you don't own your own music, and let's figure out, because this woman has made money off this album, which is over 20 years old. Yeah. And she still performs and take care of her 6 kids on this album, right? Because of, I guess, legal issues, she can't put out new stuff. But we have to sort out. Lauryn Hill needs to sort out some new music, and we can live our lives.
Was it the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, or was Now, yeah, that album for a debut solo album, the whole album is strong. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, it was like one and done. And like, hey, if you can do one and done on something that good, hi. It's like, I'm. Thank you, Ring. Like, you know what I mean?
Residual income from that album, I tell you, I tell you.
But this is the thing, like when you're talking about residual income and everything like this, but like that's a important factor I think a number of people need to sort of work on. Like, okay, one album, still making her cash and like taking care of her family. Like, how can like we put the sort of like financial measures into place where, okay, like rather than working hard for money, like you like turn that money into the tool it's used by many people and get it to like work with us or for us to basically then incentivize and yeah, put deep seeds for future generations, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. If, let me know how to make more residual or some residual income. I want to go where the money resides because, you know, it helps as a resource. So
Yeah.
definitely.
I honestly think you should do a YouTube channel. I'm just going to put it out there because you got the personality and vibe. I did watch your vlog video, but I would say if you were doing something a little bit more educational, I think that's where your happy place would be.
I think you're right. I think you're right. That's on my list. I definitely, and I think that helps with the personal brand because I do feel like I could only be me, right? I mean, you know, with the jewelry business, like everyone, most people in the jewelry industry gets the gold, the silver, the gemstones in the same place. There's no material advantage, to be honest. It's the way how you present yourself. So I'm spending a lot of time looking at the branding, the aesthetics of attracting the people. And for me, as Cassandra Lauren Gordon, the personal brand, me, I've got to put a lot of effort in as well. Like who what I can chat for England, for Jamaica, and for the world, but what is my intention? What do I want to give value to? How do I relate to people? What would they get from me? I can't just regurgitate the same things. I can't do that. There's no point. There's only one me. So if my mom pushed me out, went through pain and all that kind of stuff, I need to do something different, right? So yeah, that's why. Yeah, so I'm very thankful and grateful for you to let me be on your platform. I really do appreciate you taking your time to do that. I appreciate it.
It was a joy having you on today. Absolute joy and a pleasure, to say the least. I'm going to have to say, yeah, can you tell the lovely people how they can find you out there on these interwebs?
Yeah, I don't inter so my name is Cassandra Lauren Gordon, the whole name, my government name, what my parents gave me. So my jewelry is www.klgjewelry.com, jewelry the British spelling. If you want to find me on the podcast with me and my views on life is Black Creative Handbook. And I'm sure the links are going to be all down there. You can just click on it. And yeah, that is the main ways you can get in contact with me, the website, Instagram, KLG Jewelry, and the podcast.
Perfect. Perfect. As Cassandra mentioned, yes, I will be putting the links in the description into the show notes. So yes, click, find her, get in contact. And yes, maybe pick up a little bit of jewelry, if not that. Have her listen to the whole podcast. Yeah, she's making it rain. There you go.
Hey, we have to eat, right? We have to pay bills, you know. You can't be humble. I used to be, no, don't say anything. No, I just want to talk. No.
Well,
No. We work too hard. We work too hard.
she's
So
making it
yeah.
rain with phantom cash today. Make sure you can turn that into reality. Make that cash real for her. And like, hey, I'd like to say thank you to you, my friends, my life warriors, for sticking with us up until this point. Please stay safe, stay well, be awesome, be excellent, be fantastic. Be all the positive bees you can be in this world and then some. Have a great day, guys. Yes. Peace. And we are.